Podtacking, episode 139, New Map, Customs, and Creations, for the week of December 11th, 2007.
I'll investigate! Someone give me one of those Sherlock Holmes hats and little pipe!
Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at Podtacular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle. Because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me. A battle will decide our destiny. My brothers are dead. My family is hurt. And I'm on the ground. No, I'm on the ground.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Kumo Jai.
I'm Jeremy Reed.
I'm Leonard.
And it's Mortal Three.
All right. Good to have you back.
Yeah. Back.
What's up?
Yes. You guys are regulars either on the podcast or in the community, or maybe even both. And I'm going to start off with you, Immortal Three. I want to know what you've been up to lately.
All right. Not much, really. Just posting forums, just hanging out with the podcast people. Trying to try out for the pro clans, but haven't been able to make a tryout because I'm busy with school and work and stuff.
So how do you go about trying out for the pro clan?
Well, first you have to be a member of our site and ask for an invite to the rec clan before you can try out for the pro clan. And we use that using the Friends of Friends feature in Xbox Live, so... Then after you're in rec, you can try out for the pros, and the best of the pros are the All-Stars. So, yeah.
So give us a little more in-depth information about how, like, say, for example, how good do you have to be, and how difficult is it to get into the pro clans?
To be a pro, I'm pretty sure the requirement is a major, I think. And to be a member of the site, or a member of the rec clan for 30 days. But they're looking for good teamwork, of course, your skill, make sure you talk a lot and not have a bad attitude, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're very fortunate that we have a lot of good guys out there.
Oh, yeah.
And the total opposite of a good guy, we have Laird here.
Oh,
hey, that's the truth.
I caught you off guard with that one. What's happening, Laird?
Let's see. What have I been doing? I'm the Halo community guy, so I've been running around the community, I guess, moderating your forums with the dignity and grace that I have always applied to it. Yes. We'll go with that. And writing a super secret project that everyone probably can guess what it is, but I showed Fumo a little prologue of it yesterday.
Awesome.
Oh man,
it
is good.
Tell us a little bit about your previous projects.
Let's see. I did this little thing called Halo Unyielding. No one's really kind of heard of it. It's
I think I heard of it.
Yeah, no one's ever heard of it. It's just this like little machinima project that uses Halo 2 and 1 and 3D custom animation to make a inline story within the Halo universe, and it's voiced by many people through the Halo community / Halo Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they are very well made. And I also want to thank you for representing Podtacular and PAX. We haven't spoken to you since then, at least I haven't. And you haven't been on the show since then, and you did some great work with videos, and nobody's checked them out.
That's all. Pretty sweet.
Just, it was kind of spur of the moment. I'm just very happy I found a fellow friend from the community that was able to supply a video camera. Next year when we go, we will definitely be prepared.
Definitely. Be warned, everyone.
Be warned.
You're on. You're going to be interviewed, everybody, including the guys that, like, you know, are just random people from like going to PAX, just random gamers.
We're going to have people paying us to interview them.
Please interview me.
sleep.
Nice. Hey, he's being modest about that Unyielding, guys. Definitely, that's worth checking out if you guys haven't already. What is it? HaloUnyielding.com, right?
That's right.
It got some really cool custom space battles where Laird went and modeled all of these Halo vehicles and even a few of his own that he modeled from scratch and set them up in this whole huge space firefight and everything, and has, you know, a whole story to go along with the whole thing, has a whole bunch of, you know, like original dialogue, original storyline throughout the whole thing. It's really fantastic, man. It's kind of a cool endeavor that really shows kind of the spirit of the Halo community as it goes through.
Absolutely.
It has its own really music, cool. Its own soundtrack, and everything, man. It's fantastic.
We are not just a bunch of teabagging 13-year-olds. We actually have
we're
minds,
a bunch of,
and we're creative.
We're a bunch
true.
Of creative, older, distinguished gamers that teabag people.
Teabaggers.
I have this theory. For the most part, like, except for JVB's recent comment, like, a lot of times people will say, like, man, I hate those 8-year-olds or something like that. And they always have a different number of, like, how old the person is. But, like, you know what I think is, like, except for JVB, like, almost every time someone says that, they're like, the person that says that I hate those 8-year-olds, they're probably 9. Like, stupid 8-year-olds screwing everything up on Xbox Live.
It was funny because I was playing with Magic Hobgoblin. We were trying some of the new maps, and obviously, the kid was, he must have been maybe, I'd say by the sound of his voice, it was very high-pitched, had to be 11. And he goes, Magic Hobgob goes, are you a boy or a girl? And I started cracking up. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything, dude? He goes, I don't know, I just wanted to ask. He goes, no offense. And then the kid is like, excuse me? Like,
are you talking to me?
So at the end of the match, he asked him again, are you? I was like,
and then the kids get upset when you say they're 8 and they're, I'm 8.5.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, nothing against age, because we all know the history of Halo. There are older people who act worse.
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Simply because they should know better.
Leroy Jenkins.
Case in point,
so
definitely.
Fumo, what do we have going on today?
Well, this week is the Customs and Creation Show. We also, of course, have the new maps to talk about as of recording that just came out today. So we got Lair JVB and Immortal have all played them. I haven't. I'm waiting until they're free. And, you know, that's just my stance
on
the whole thing.
Spend the money.
Oh, like 10 bucks, man.
Sell some stock in Podtacular and you got
sell some of your Podtacular stock.
On the New York
it's
Stock
only
Exchange.
Like
everyone,
per share.
Everyone chipping $1 for Fumo's new maps.
We're a bear stock, so you can buy it at a very cheap cost.
This is true.
Sell some with your hand.
About two shares.
Pretty soon we're going to have a board of directors telling us what to do and everything. And
yeah, we went public yesterday. So
what you guys need is you need a real zoo. A Podtacular zoo.
Zootacular.
We just thought of it. What do you think?
And we're going to have hot peanuts and cold pop.
And newbies bumping bars.
A shooting gallery with Covenant?
and the underdog cotton candy.
And the war dog ride.
Come on, JVB, we'll be the clowns because we don't have the budget to hire anyone for that role. Oh man.
Oh,
you guys
wow.
will be the clowns, security, and lion tamers.
In that order.
Security.
Look at them security guards. They're a bunch of clowns. Literally. But one is holding a tiger. Oh, man, let's run.
It's supposed to be a lion tamer. What? You're fired.
We couldn't afford a tiger. I mean, a lion, so we got a tiger. His name is Tony.
And a bear.
Yeah, tag a tank.
All right, man, so,
anyway, yeah, it's the customs, customs and creations.
back to the show.
We just created our custom zoo.
The stage is set.
Now, we're going to start off by talking about the new maps. So we're going to talk about the new heroic map pack that came out today on Xbox Live. They cost 800 Microsoft points, and it's three maps. It's Foundry, Ratsiness, and what's the other one? What's the last one?
Standoff.
Which happens to be, from my understanding, the best map out of the three. And yeah, to quote Luke Smith, he said it's close to being the best map ever. So, we'll, as I get more acquainted with it, we'll see about that one. So, what do you guys think about it?
I think
they're great. Standoff is definitely a winner. I think it's kind of neat that if you really look at the background of the satellite dishes,
you guys remember, man.
Oh yeah.
You can. What I did was I went on Forge and I started roaming the map, and I got, you know, I just went as high as I could, and you can see so much in the distance. It was funny, I was driving the mongoose around, and there's a part where there's a barricade and a cliff. So I said, I wonder what'll happen if I go through that barricade, and lo and behold, I fell right through and died.
Whoa.
But no, it's very pretty, and it has some underground tunnels, and the main focus from what I played, I only played it once, was that it's more of a map where everything's going to be on ground level, not inside these tunnels. I mean,
yeah.
There's an opportunity for people to, I guess, like, for example, MVP, to kind of hide in there, but I think more of the action is going to be outside.
Yeah.
Yep. You guys have all seen the Halo live action stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the new map is called.
Standoff.
I'm tongue-tied right now.
Standoff. I know where you're getting it.
Exactly. It looks like it's part of the live action.
Absolutely.
Live action stuff.
You're right, and I didn't actually think about that. It absolutely looks like that level. Especially towards the end when the brute is coming and they're about to close the door and he rockets him.
The base is exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the door shuts. Those doors are there. They don't open. I believe only one of them opens. So you're right. I didn't even think about that one.
One of the other cool things, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people have noticed it, but on Standoff, if you look up straight up in the sky and you'll see jet streams. It's actually missiles that are launching overhead constantly in the game as one of the little things in the sky.
No, one thing they did add, and I saw this as well on Rat's Nest, was that there's a lot of activity going on in the distance. For example, there's a pelican that's parked on Rat's Nest, and
as
a monitor... I tried to go to the pelican, and the guardians killed me.
You got killed by the death wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're still working on a way to get over there that everyone can get there. We managed to get over there last night, really early this morning, but it's very hard to do. You have to put a teleporter down on there's like a little ledge that's connected to the pelican that you can just place. If you don't balance a teleporter just right, it disappears. Like, if you're like half an inch off, it makes any piece of equipment you lay down there or anything you spawn just kind of disappear from there. So it's a real touchy to get over to the pelican.
The fun thing about that is that if you look up in the air, you'll see pelicans flying, being launched from a distance.
Really?
So it's a lot of neat
things. And banshees, hornets in that flying around too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And the fun thing about Rat's Nest is that, and it was mentioned in the previews, is that you can use that as a track. It's a circle, you know. It's
like a whole circle.
Mm-hmm. You can even go on the second level, and with a ghost or a mongoose, and race through there. So there's different ways where you can get creative with races and stuff like that.
I have a theory about Rat's Nest and Standoff. I think Rat's Nest is actually the base that is normally, you know, like, is below, like in the basement, and Standoff is on top of Rat's Nest. That's the way I see it.
I see what you're saying.
Could be.
Maybe all three have something to do with one another, because Foundry is pretty plain, and they did state that it would be the most customizable map for Forge.
Very customizable.
And they weren't kidding.
Yeah.
And I had emptied out the entire map, and it looked like an empty gym. So that gave me the idea. I was like, I wonder if I can do some kind of, like, basketball, trick or something. Some game type similar to that. I mean, that would be the perfect, like, dodgeball arena or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone said they made a football game.
Yep, I've been playing briefly before I came on the podcast, we were playing a game called Griffball.
Can you describe
that? Yes, so in the custom we were playing, so in Foundry, each team, there's two teams of four, or I guess it could go bigger, but there's two teams of four. You have a gravity hammer, and you have a sword, and there's a bomb in the middle. It's basically, like, I guess if you want to call it football, basketball, everyone has to get to the middle, you get the bomb. Whoever grabs the bomb has an overshield and, you know, can absorb, like, two hits from the hammer. And there's a one-second arming time on each of the bomb plant zones. So it's, you know, touch as soon as you hit, you score. It's actually quite a fun game if you play it, you know, best of five, best of whatever. As long as you're defensive, it's really a fun game. We've only played it, like, five or six times, but everyone that we brought in decided it was a great game.
So, your teammates start off with a default weapon of a sword.
A sword and a hammer, basically.
Oh, wow. So, the strategy to use is kind of like...
You have
this bomb, and I'm trying to be your lead blocker, for example, so I would use
exactly.
The hammer to kind of push the opponent backwards.
The hammer is for offensive, like when you're like charging in, trying, you know, say four guys are heading for the ball, and all of a sudden you're right there and you want to save the guy that has the bomb. Hammer,
yes.
And the sword is best for defensive action, because it will kill it'll kill the bomb guy in one swing, or the ball carrier, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, wow, that's a pretty nice game type. Can we find this game type?
It's in the profile called, if you go to the, file share of the game, gamer tag, it's called Chicken Mouth. So that's Chicken Mouth, Chickenmouth, and just pull it from there.
Chicken Mouth.
It's called Griffball, just Griffball. FYI, the name of the game.
Cool.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
So now we've talked about all three maps briefly here. I just wanted to get, like, kind of a better breakdown of how the maps are laid out. Immortal, can you give us a little bit idea of how Standoff is laid out? Like, what are the, you know, I understand there's two bases. What's inside the bases? What can you do within the bases? How are the tunnels arranged? How are is the cover arranged? Stuff like that.
Yeah, the Standoff, there's two bases on either side of the map. And, scattered throughout the map, there's, like, rocks and stuff. And, like, on the side of each base, there's, like, a helipad. There's, like, a couple helipads. And behind each base, I think, is a helipad. So, it's kind of like a slight valley. So, like, you're going down. In the middle is a Spartan laser. And each side has an active camo and rockets. So, and a shotgun, I think.
And there's a laser in the middle.
Yeah, the laser's in the middle. And, The one thing that I thought they could have used was like a sniper, because there's no snipers on the map, but I thought it'd be a great map for sniping if you're a sniper. So yeah,
it would be a cool, tough map to snipe, because there's also inside the base there's a button where it would allow the windows to go up.
Oh yeah, I
forgot
about that.
And the back door.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the back door.
Once
yeah, the
they
tunnel,
go up, they don't. They once you open them, you can't close them. So
it's kind of like the gate on Last Year's Apart.
Yes,
yeah. It's the same thing on the back door too.
Yes, the one switch opens the windows and the door.
Hmm. It's actually cool because I can see maybe a zombie type game where that would be the fortress, if you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But you can't camp, and that's the good part. You can't just camp in there.
If you open the gates,
you know, you're gonna get bombarded with grenades. Or if you keep them closed, you're still in danger of getting bombarded with grenades through the tunnels because you're trapped.
Hmm.
I like the little sandbag there is. They have one, what you're calling the helipads up behind, because it provides good cover. There's a couple turrets up there, you know.
Yes.
And you can survey the whole kind of valley, as Immortal put it, with the turret, you know, and since there's no snipers, you don't gotta worry about being sniped.
There are two warthogs, so you do have to worry about the warthogs and the laser.
And there's a lot of BRs on the map, too, battle rifles.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And be careful while driving near the edge of the map.
Oh, yes.
You can easily drive off.
Yes, you can. Those barricades are there for a reason. The one thing that I was trying to do, the number 3 helipad, is actually is a lift.
It's raised.
It's raised, and I was trying to get my mongoose, and I'm sure somebody will find a way to make some type of ramp to get it on top of that raised helipad.
Oh, you can. We were playing around in Forge earlier. There's a rock right at the back there that has the raised platform. Mm-hmm. If you gun it, you have to, you know, it takes some time to wheel it up over the edge. But even if you get a mongoose or whatever up on the, or a ghost or whatever up on that raised platform, if you try jumping it and you put a man cannon, one of the portable ones at the edge there, even if you think you're gonna jump outside the map or onto the back wall, there's an invisible wall there that'll just bring you down. Trust us. Trust me, we tried for several hours to find a way out. The best we could do is it, you know, there's a barricaded gate kind of thing at the near that number, the red base, I guess it is, or where the 3 is. We managed to slip a teleporter over the gate, and you can get out, but then you're pinned right against the wall. And on the other side of the fence, and if you do anything other than fly as the monitor, then you die as soon as you hit the ground.
No fun.
Bungie has gone out of their way to keep us inside the map, but I'm sure someone will find their way for
to roam the open countryside of satellite dishes and sunsets.
And
I want to get down into the river and the valley.
Exactly,
it's
you see so much. Once you look down from the cliff, you see like this entire village or something down there.
Oh yeah,
you see
like houses.
See the remains of, I think it's the Ark.
Yep.
There's a lot going on. But like you said, it definitely reminded me of the videos. And it's a good point.
Yeah. Well, cool. So that one has the two bases in the valley. I saw something that was saying that there's like a switch that you can turn on like fire in this one corridor.
No.
that was fake.
That was in the Red versus Blue video game awards video. The nearest that I can tell, it was just them, you know, doing their little
grenade.
Video trick. Exactly.
I totally thought that was real, man.
Me too.
I looked for the switch, and I couldn't find it. I was like, no, where's the fire switch?
Yeah, really. That would have been cool.
I mean, maybe there is. Maybe we just haven't found it yet, but I'm willing to bet on it. It was just a fire grenade.
Yeah.
So I looked on Bungie.net at the heat maps, and that gave kind of an overhead layout of how the maps worked. And I was looking at the one for Rat's Nest, and yeah, it was pretty cool how there's a just basically like a track size, you know, like a track that goes around a football size, or at least the shape of a racetrack that goes around the whole thing. And then there's kind of a bunch of corridors and kind of a plus formation with a bunch of different curvy corridors around those that go in between the track. So it's a pretty cool setup.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's a, unfortunately, right now, Bungie has decided to make a playlist just for the, they call it the heroic playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But the rotation is not Foundry, but a Rat's Nest heavy.
So it
seemed like every match was on Rat's Nest. And, you know, which became a pain in the butt because you want to try all the maps.
Right.
But when you're inside, there's an outer layer which goes around, and that was occupied by a lot of warthogs and ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And inside, you can, where it was where the brunt of the combat was going on. And in the very center of the map, if you look up, and this is why it kind of makes sense what Laird was saying. If you look straight up, it goes on and on.
Yeah, we managed to actually go up into those elevators.
How'd you do that? Because I tried.
All you got to do is, in one of the bases, you place a teleporter on top of one of the open spaces in Forge where there's a chain link fence floor, mm-hmm. and you put it there. You can only, and then you can teleport up. It's safe to walk around. You can jump up for a bit, but if you go any higher than the yellow crane that's in those areas, mm-hmm. as a monitor, you, well, die. You explode.
Wow. Oh.
Mm. Cool. So you guys were busy, huh?
Yeah.
You're like, and nice maps. Let's get outside of them.
<I know>. Wow, these maps look beautiful. Okay, hack them.
Using them for zombie maps. I mean, that would be one of the great places to hide, you know?
Oh, where absolutely.
Zombies can't get you unless imagine, they find a helmet.
Imagine that. Imagine how unfair that would be. I mean, but there is a sniper rifle on that one.
Yes, and a rocket launcher. Not many people know where the rocket launcher is.
No.
When we were playing the new maps, I was the only one that knew where it was. For reference...
I was caught by surprise on that one.
For reference, for anybody that wants to know where the rocket launcher is, if you know where the ghost spawns, it directly in front of where that ghost spawns out at the opening where the pelican is, that's where the rocket launcher is.
Yes, yeah, right on the side.
That's right, against one of the concrete blocker things.
Mm-hmm. Then I got caught by surprise. I was on a... Somebody was driving the warthog. I got on. I had this major, killing spree going on, and opponent nubs, and all of a sudden this dude just boom! But he was so close to us that he died also, so counted as a kill.
You do, you know the big air conditioning tube that runs the length of the building or the length of the track?
Mm-hmm.
There is a way in normal games to jump up there and cover the base and just attack and snipe. You have to look for a red set of pipes on the wall, and you can jump on that and then go up and then hop onto the long AC pipes.
Oh,
it's actually a very good for VIP or something like that, mm-hmm. or you know, hiding, you know, sniping. I thought that was a great thing you could do, traverse, without having to actually go down into the combat, a sneaky way to get around.
There was also a guy who, there's on the side of the main road out in the outer layer of the map, there's a stairwell where there's a battle rifle on top, and he had the sniper rifle, and he was underneath the stairwell behind the fence that runs along the stairwell. And I had the warthog, I was fortunate enough that he didn't kill me. I mean, he was sniping. And he was somewhat protected, but eventually I bombarded him with bullets, and he died. But I have no idea how he went in there, because it wasn't a clear-cut way to get in there. So, you know, my first thought was, wow, there's people already you know, finding ways to kind of get into these places.
Yep.
But it's not one where he's going to dominate the map or anything, so it was no big deal.
Yeah, there's on the outer part of the map, I think where you're talking, where the rocket launcher and that spawns, there's two kind of barbed wire chain link fences. You can jump on top of them, but it's really hard to do without a grenade jump.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So that's Rat's Nest. Now, Foundry, one of the things I understood about Foundry is that you can use all of the new objects in Foundry in all mm-hmm. of the new maps, but not in the old maps. That's correct. That right?
That's correct.
What kind of new objects do we have to... Oh, yeah? What kind of new objects do we have to work with there on Forge?
Yeah, there's shield doors. Mm-hmm. Like, you can use a large and small shield doors.
Giant soccer balls.
Yeah, soccer ball. You got man cannons, too. And
semi-trucks.
Yes, semi-rigs.
Nice.
Giant spools of wire and all this other crazy stuff.
Weird.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
You can even, when you clean that map, you can clean almost anything on that map.
Wow.
You can clean the windows, the doors. You can't go through the doors, but you can...
Oh, yeah. There's big metal doors, too. There's stairs, walls. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm just remembering when playing on Foundry.
Seats, crates, and stuff.
Ramps.
Wow.
Chain link boxes. Like, you could, like, drop a box that has no bottom and turn it into a jail or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Like, you know, you say you want to make a cops and robbers variant. One of the other ones we were playing today on Foundry was a variant. It's in the same account that I told you guys earlier, Chicken Muff, but it's called Paintball. And these guys went into Foundry and made it so it looks like a paintball arena. So you've got some of the blast shields, you've got this and that, and all this stuff set up, and everyone spawns with pistols. And it's kind of like Team Tactical. It's a Team Tactical game, but, you know, it's paintball.
Oh, nice.
It's actually a really fun game type. I only played it like two games before coming in, but... in here, but I thought it was pretty fun.
Cool.
Well,
so
this is going to require a lot of creativity, and they give you pretty much an empty map to do so.
Yeah.
Foundry is the ultimate fan designer's game map without being able to modify the geometry. And I mean, really, we can modify the geometry with all the stuff they give us.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. One question I have about this is with previous Forge stuff, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, how one of the issues we have with Forge is that you can't place stuff and make it ignore physics. So, like, sometimes you build this intricate design, but it's very carefully crafted, and if there's any explosions that happen, they basically destroy the whole thing and make it unplayable. With some of the larger objects, are they more resilient to physics? Like, for instance, the big tunnel, boxes, do they move when things explode near them, stuff like that?
I haven't done anything like that.
I know the walls don't, like, if you put a wall down, and, like, I tried hitting it with a gravity hammer and it didn't budge.
Good.
Yeah. So. I tried recreating the video that one of the things that was in the red versus blue video where you were shooting a soccer ball down a enclosed tunnel with a whole bunch of grav lifts, and you know, we threw rockets, we threw vehicles down it, and our little enclosed area with the fences on two sides and there's bridges, but we use that as a roof to this area, and you know, anything we threw that was explosive down there did not damage our little accelerator O-matic cannon thing, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Accelerator O-matic.
So the bridges, can you knock those off?
If you're in Forged and you're playing with them, you have to basically... What we were able to do so they don't move is what you have to do is build your map first. Like, say you want them to spawn 10 feet in the air. For whatever reason, you want these bridges up in the air. You have to put boxes underneath them,
mm-hmm.
Put the bridge to spawn on top of the boxes, delete the boxes underneath, and once that bridge is in the air, then it won't move. Because when we tried building this cannon of fun that accelerated things, when we put the grav lifts down first, we tried putting the bridges on top. And since the man, sorry, not grav lifts, man cannons were active, they were blowing the bridges away. But once we had put the, put our objects where we wanted them first, then put the man cannons in, everything stayed right where they were supposed to.
Oh, nice.
That's a good tip for forgers right awesome. There.
Yeah.
Forgerers.
Forgerers.
So
I understand. So I understand Foundry is basically like a giant gymnasium, and there's tunnels in the back too, right?
There's a couple of rooms in the back, actually, for either side.
Hmm. Yeah, there's two rooms on either side where you can... Like, I was going to create a map where each team was going to spawn in each room, separately, of course. And there was only going to be one way to get out of that room. And I was going to build obstacles to where it would be nearly impossible to get into those rooms. So this way there's no chance of spawn killing. Mm-hmm. So I'm still working on that. I don't know when I'll get to it, but I thought it was a noble idea when I thought of it.
A noble idea.
But yes, those rooms, you can actually do some pretty cool stuff with them.
Nice. Well, good deal. So I guess that's the new maps. Pretty much covers it. I'm excited to start playing them soon, man. When they come out for free, I'll definitely check it out.
I can't wait to play them.
No, not
next year sometime.
And of course, when they come out for free, then the next maps will be coming out, and it'll be like, oh, Fumo, I gotta get the next ones.
Members of Podtacular, this is a calling to get Fumo some Microsoft points. Send money to the Podtacular account.
Right. We need points.
Okay, so
we
got the customs and creations here. JVB, why don't you start us off with the first stuff people sent in here?
Yes, well, I'm not going to read the first one, and I do apologize to Test Pilot. He actually doesn't own a 360, and he was going into some detail about when he plans on getting one. And he hasn't played a game, actually. So go to the show notes and read his submission. So I just wanted to say his name because from what I can gather, it's a first-time submission. So I will go to Phil101, who brings in a submission. And he says, hey, Podtacular, Phil101 here to tell you about my infection game based on the Alien vs. Predator movie. The humans, Predator, start with Spartan lasers and rockets with unlimited ammo and regular shields. The two alpha zombies, aliens, are slow and strong, like the queen aliens, and spawn with swords. The people they infect are faster and slightly weaker. Everyone has poor active camo. The last predator standing is stronger and faster. This game is best played on last resort or high ground, but it is fun on almost any large to mid-sized map. And it's also fun because you can get the stuff scared out of you if you aren't paying attention to the zombies. My second creation is a CTF map on last resort on the beach called Hellfire. One base is on the seawall, and the other base is parallel to the wall floating in the ocean and is made up of containers that are also a bridge connecting. Oh, there are also a bridge connecting the bases and two floating islands that are connected to the bridge and by teleports at the bases. Hmm. There is a Spartan laser in the middle, and each base has a sniper. This map is very open, and you may get battle rifled a lot if you don't utilize your cover. This map also might require some crouch jumping skills to get from one crate to another. But overall, it's a fun capture the flag map. He also says both files are under his gamer tag, Phil101. He says, thanks for the great podcast and keep on wigwamming Wiffle Waffers. I have no idea what a Wiffle Waffer is.
I think it has to do with Wiffle Ball
or
something.
I'll go wigwamming. Mm.
Whiffling waffers.
the Nerf wiffle ball thing of the United States Association.
Maybe it's a mixture of a wiffle ball bat and a waffle.
Could be, wearing a wig.
Wigwamming, yeah, exactly.
Nice.
I do like his little custom game with the Alien versus Predator scene.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea where the last standing player has this superior strength and speed to take on the aliens.
Yep.
So cool. Nice. I definitely would like to try that one.
True that. Well, Laird, what do we got next here, buddy?
This is Game Freak B7. He says, yo, Podjack, it's Game Freak B7 here, again with my latest custom map. Actually, I've been working on this for a long time now. It's called, this is a mouthful, Telepandemonium. And he goes on to say, Telepandemonium. It's basically Chiron TL-34 combined with Guardian and pure randomness. Instead of each teleporter leading to the certain one, they're completely random and you never know which one you're going to end up at. If you're lucky, you get the teleporter and you end up with the vortex that leads to the weapon stash, which is up on the strange platform that is above the courtyard. It has a laser, huge amounts of grenades, a trip mine, a crab lift, and a radar jammer all in one. There's a second if you turn the center node that will send you to the three limbs connected to a building with a sniper rifle in the basement. Continue down this tree limb, and you will find a sniper rifle leaning against the trunk. So what's that? Gotta grab my breath. I have deleted all the other snipers on the map, so a select few will get it. When you get it, you're a bad sniping angle, but if you're lucky, you can make it to the pathway below. Another special teleporter will send you to the sword and a custom power-up spawn. This is the only sword hammer on the map, so use it wisely. Finally, there's a headquarters near the yellow central lift opposite of the sniper tree. Sniper tree. That's a new coin phrase by Podacular. It's the bottom of the lift with one spanker, the rocket launcher, for those who don't know, two battle rifles, one shotgun, and plenty of assault rifles, two SMGs, and a table of equipment near the grenades. And finally, a mongoose. Those crazy drivers are the last cool thing there is. No spawn points, so instead you spawn near the teleporter. This makes it seem like the Coveys and the UNSC are teleporting in reinforcements or something. I haven't yet finished it yet, so it's a work in progress and is liable to change, but expect the project to produce an awesome map. So that's Telepandemonium for those slow people like me. And that was the tips from Gamer Freak B7.
All right, thank you, Gamer Freakazoid. Nice. Lasers. What was that all about, man?
I don't know, somebody put it there.
Did you say the rocket launcher was called the Spanker?
That's what he put it in there. It says S-P-N-K-E-R on the side, so I guess that's what he's going
for. That. You need a spanking. Yeah. You've been a very bad boy.
Well, I'll spank you with my rocket.
Oh, okay. The Spanker.
It's Mr. Immortal's turn now.
All right. Shotgun Friendly says, hey, it's lovable yet deadly Shotgun Friendly with some amazing customs and creeps and shit.
How can you be a friendly shotgun?
Friendly shotgun? They're not friendly to me, I'll tell you that.
Shotguns are friendly if they're yours, but if
they're
someone else.
If they're yours.
Hey, come on, let's go have a picnic. Pow!
Friendly shotgun.
Let's invite that friendly shotgun wielding gentleman that's standing outside to our bar mitzvah. Yeah, but.
For her bar mitzvah.
All right.
I remember that guy. He has the nicest shotgun I've ever met.
It was the friendliest shotgun. Okay, sorry about that. Sorry for the interruption.
All right. Well, first off, I'd like to start with a quick note to my personal map variant of Valhalla called Valkyrene. You can get it in my file share. I'm not going to go into detail on it, as I wanted to talk about my other custom map. Alright. the map and custom to go along with it that I would like to present to you, Fumo, JBB, and worthless minions that co-host with him.
Oh.
With.
Oh, he's going down. All of a sudden, we lost the submission.
Oh, and the friendly status.
Oh, my Internet Explorer is froze.
He said that last week, though.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, I lost the show notes. Oh, well.
Oh, man. Golly gee, Spanker.
All of a sudden, this guy disappears off the site for no reason whatsoever.
He needs a spanking.
No reason. He just disappeared.
Sorry.
All right. Cannon Wars. Okay.
That sounded pretty real there, Laird.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this guy disappears from the face of the earth.
Where it was.
There are going to be a bad set of consequences.
Oh, snap.
I know people who know people.
Alright. Cannon Wars is a map variant that I made on Neros. In Cannon Wars, you have all spawns placed behind each man cannon, so that once you die, you can easily get back in the fight. The fights that take place all happen in midair, flying through man cannons. On the map itself, you have one side filled with firebombs and spike grenades in front of the man cannon, and the others filled with plasmas and frags. The landing area right below the man cannons are filled with fusion coils, so if you happen to land there, I recommend you get out of the area dubbed by friends the fire pit. Now moving on to the custom game itself, Cannon Wars is played with unlimited ammo, no weapons on the map, and rockets and blazers as starting weapons with unlimited ammo. Anyways, gravity is turned down to 75% or 50%. Not sure to make flying through the man cannons and having mid-air collisions more interesting.
Cool.
Now, this next part is all about honesty. The game is supposed to be played where you cannot shoot or throw grenades unless you're in mid-air because you ran through the man cannon. Many people do not grasp this concept well and decide to shoot whenever they want. Well, if so, firmly boot them as the game is no fun this way.
That surprises me.
Yeah. Just spank them.
real quick, Fumo. Wasn't this the guy who made the submission last week with his friend Nate?
Oh yeah, I believe it was.
Just ask. Anyway, moving on.
He and Nate have been working on this map for a while. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. The game is very fun and should be played as an every man for himself match, up to no teams. You can enjoy this with a little in 3 players, but as much as 16 players. I currently do not have a map in my file share due to the dreaded prod Red Ring of Death, in case JVB doesn't know that one as well, which has lasted me over 8 to 10 weeks. I'm not sure as I've lost count.
This guy's really building a lot of brownie points, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
This guy, you know, I'm kind of sad that he does have Red Ring, because I'd like to challenge him to a match.
Ooh, you've been challenged.
Ooh, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Ooh, snap. Anyways.
The Vaseline.
Oh,
No, to clarify that.
You're like, that's not what I meant at all. I was
clarify
that. You know, in the Bronx, when the girls got into fights, they put Vaseline in their faces to minimize damage.
Yeah.
Scratching.
Right. I was a little worried there when you said to clarify that, the girls in the Bronx, when they got into fights, I was like, oh no.
The girls in the Bronx, JVB, this is a family friendly show. No,
really, it's safe.
Yeah, really. What are you listening to?
Okay.
So him and Nene.
Oh.
Alright, guess I'll finish this up. Yeah. Anyways, let's finish up this taco. Yes, I'm Mexican. Shoutouts to whoever deserves a shoutout, as I know many people do, but never receive them. And come on, people, it's the given time of year. Keep on giving those special things to the special people who have the special places in your special heart, which can be located in your special body, which is special for no special reason. Okay. Think you're pretty special, eh?
Nice.
All right.
I wonder if he's Yellow Bus special.
Perhaps he is.
No, thank you very much, dear Friendly Shotgun, or Shotgun Friendly. Sorry about that.
Tell Nanny we said hi, man.
Yeah, tell Nanny I said, yo, woohoo! But anyway, I do know internet slang. Ever, and I mean ever, doubt me. Anyway, that was my wrestling.
You were not that old.
Wow.
I'm late, damn you.
Get out the Vaseline.
Aww. That's the new saying of the week.
Man.
Uh-oh.
He starts
here comes
with the
big jug.
He starts by calling Laird and Immortal the worthless minions, and then he starts ripping on JVB.
Oh,
man, what the heck?
This guy got a set of grapefruits on him, huh?
I'm gonna go give him a warning when I get onto the forums.
I'm about to introduce him to my friendly shotgun.
he wants to be giving. Well, I'm gonna be giving. I'm gonna send you a nice pair of cement shoes. With
and when
your
I'm done,
name on side.
And when I'm done, I'm going after Nene.
Nene hasn't even submitted anything, and he's already a regular here.
Ding dong! Who is it? It's called guilt by association. Blam!
Is Nene here? Oh, yes, that's me. No. Hey, shotgun friendly, we do this to everybody, so. Friends, huh?
Yeah, we equally hate everybody.
Just ask Scrawny Pale Man, he'll tell you.
True that. Well, we got a few more here.
Shotgun friend.
All right.
One piece of advice. Go to Luke Smith and say, I can has recon.
See if that works for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, now.
Do it.
All right, what we got next here? One from, looks like, Oddfluence, who says, all right, third submission. I creation that I made using the new maps. Nice. Okay.
I creation.
I creation.
Like iRobot, I creation.
You know, Will Smith has been an iRobot, and now I am legend.
Nice. I creation is next, man. It's a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I creation, the biography of Ice, baby.
Oh.
Too cool. Well, he says Foundry, to be specific. If you delete every hing on the map, you can add a lot of fun new things like a soccer ball to the map. If you turn the fence boxes, another new item, on their sides and put them at each end of the room, put man cannons, so happy they have these now, at the corners of the room, put the sign above the respected goals, fence boxes, put deployable covers in the goal to respond rapidly for the goalie used to stop the ball, put cones around the sides to show the sidelines. If you scatter grenades around the map, probably spike or plasma, to stick the ball to make it move, give the goalie the hammer and everyone else with automatic weapons. Plasma weapons work best. Then go into Forge and have the referee go into monitor mode to monitor. Get it? Dude. That was weird.
That's not funny.
Sorry, man.
Oh, man.
Wah, wah. Anyway, give points. Whenever someone scores, they remember that. So it's like soccer, but deadly. Oh, also gave everyone super health. And if you want to put down the gravity a little so it's more fast-paced. I made this this morning, the morning that the new maps came out on the marketplace. I thought it was foo. I think you meant fun. And I hope you use this submission. Thank you. You are amazing. And you keep on podcasting that people can play on their fragged trucks. Those poor trucks.
Thank poor you trucks. Very much, J.O.D. Influence. And that's the besides Lair's custom map. That's the first submitted custom game for the new map, so you have something to brag about.
So I guess he's talking about like setting up. I was a little confused because of his grammar. He's talking about like setting up kind of a soccer match with man cannons.
Yep.
How do the man cannons fit into the whole thing?
They launch everything, then you can set them up wherever you want.
So it's just like setting them up randomly, pretty much, and just having the ball fly in the air at different places.
On the corners, I think.
Oh, okay.
Like if a ball goes out of bounds, you can it's like you can kick it. You just place it in one of the corners, I guess.
That'll work.
Something like that.
And the man cannons don't look like, you know, the man cannons on Valhalla or whatever. They're like these two purple, think of it like a grav lift, but on an angle. That's basically what they look like.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Cool. So we're going to go to the next Marvel superhero, Captain Anger. And he says, "Hello, guys. My map is called The Loop, and it's made on arrows. Basic idea is to make the man cannons the most used method of transportation. I wanted to keep the players away from the main top bridge. What I did was create a long chain of fusion coils. By accident, they continued firing themselves every 10 seconds, but I left it like that. I added a ghost and a mongoose near each cannon to make an interesting fight. Once I realized that the man cannons were the most important part of my map, I added grav lifts near the place where the player is supposed to land to keep them flying from one side to the other. Also noted that plasma grenades will also rotate around and around until they stick someone. Wow, that's how does he do that? Anyway, there is nothing more satisfying than a mid-air splatter. Okay, fusion coils that keep firing and a rotating effect on the cannons. No wonder it's called The Loop. He says, keep up stucking ghosts using noobs. Sorry. And his gamer tag is Captain Anger with no space.
Captain Planet.
Captain Anger. I am angry. Rawr. Anyway.
By your anger combined.
Captain Planet, he's my hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
Aww.
Complete with a green mullet. There's nothing more awesome than a green mullet.
That's the ultimate, man.
Oh my god.
That is the ultimate stud.
Okay. Little Kook says, "Hey, Podtacular, Little Kook here. Sending in my comments for the customs and creation show. Okay, so I played a ton of customs a few days ago with Painkiller, Clutch, and some other Podtacular people. One of them was Tremors. I had never played this game Tremors before, so it was a really cool game type. You play it on a custom map called Tremor Valley. It's set on Valhalla. There are two crates scattered across the map, and they can't move. The point is, two people on the different teams that are in choppers trying to splatter people who are trying to capture the flag. So if the red team is trying to capture the flag, it stands on top of a crate, scattered across the map. The blue team can't splatter them. Obviously, the red team scores. They win the game. The game is an awesome game, and it's demonstrated by Clutch. Can be very frustrating for myself, is what it sounds like. Some of the other games we played, Team Bubble Bath, Hobo Heights, Multi Theft, Mario Tower, and others. Shoutouts to Godtacular Team, Chucky J, Equilibrium, Fumo, our hero, Logan Payne, Palm, or...
Palm
116. In case I got that wrong, it's PSALM 116. And everyone else. So keep on fragging trucks, considering I don't have a witty outro this time. Oh well, Little Kook.
Thanks, man.
Nice.
That's cool. You can set up tremors now with boxes wherever you want. You know, you don't have to rely on just where the rocks are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we wrap up, we have a review of Mass Effect by Killazilla at Podtacular's Review Frenzy. Let's check it out.
Hey everyone, Killazilla here, bringing you the review of Mass Effect. For any of you who don't know, Mass Effect was one of the most highly anticipated games for many gamers out there. It was a science fiction game, and the third-person shooter RPG hybrid. And anyway, in the game, you play as Captain Shepard, and in this universe, the humans are kind of they've made contact with some alien species who are far more like they've known about each other for a long time, and they have their whole like whole civilization. Kind of like a republic set up where, you know, there's all the species have representatives, you know, galactic affairs, very sci-fi, basic sci-fi stuff. And the humans are kind of new to this, so a lot of the species are kind of wary of the humans, and the humans are basically trying to become more active, but they're like more there's a lot of hindrances because a lot of these races don't really like us for a various number of reasons. But you find out early in the game that you have been chosen, or you have been nominated to be a Spectre, which are the elite group which basically do the dirty work for the counselors who are the head of this Galactic Empire government thing. And you're basically above the law, blah, blah, blah. So basically, this is a big breakthrough for humanity. So on your first mission, you're with a Spectre who's evaluating you. But stuff goes terribly wrong, and yeah, I don't want to spoil anything. But anyways, like I said, Mass Effect, at its core, is a third-person shooter with some RPG elements tacked on. So, well, not tacked on, they were generic gameplay, but most of it is, most of the game you'll be shooting. And depending on your class, you can also have various powers, such as biotics or tech. Biotics are more of you can manipulate the fabric of the universe, like you can push people, lift them up in the air, like manipulate gravity, make them float. Granted, you have like disabling them for a few moments so you can regroup your squad or get some hits on them, what have you. And tech is more based around hacking, disabling people's equipment, like their shields, overheating their guns, more like that. And then there's the guns. And there are six classes in Mass Effect. There are the Soldier, the Engineer, the Adapt, Infiltrator, Sentinel, and Vanguard. The Soldier is like entirely weapons and armor. The Engineer is all tech, and the Adapt is all biotics. And then there's the Infiltrator, who is a mix of Soldier and Engineer, Sentinel, who's Engineer and Adapt, and Vanguard, who's Soldier and Adept. And but the cool thing is, it's not just like, okay, he's a soldier in Adept, so he's not like he can't be the best sniper in the world, but he also can't be the most powerful biotic user. Instead, it gives you a specialty in a certain weapon and in a certain range of biotics or tech. So you can still be really powerful with those things, but you just won't have access to like assault rifles or certain higher level biotics. So that's one thing I really liked about this, because each class just, it's so different from the other classes. As you go through on different, play through it a bunch of times, it's just great playing as these different classes. It's so fresh, it's amazing. And that leads to one of the main draws for a lot of people about Mass Effect was the total customization of this. From the very start, you can just make your character as you want them. You can choose their first name, their gender, but the greatest thing is you can just tweak every bit of their appearance. Like, you can choose how high the nose can be, how big the nose is, skin tone, hairstyle, hair color, ear size, mouth size, lip size. Just, you can make a virtual representation of yourself if you wish, because you can just tweak these little subtleties and just manipulate it into what you want. I had a lot of fun with that. I spent a good 15 minutes just toying around with that till I got the character I wanted. And it just felt right when I was playing. It's like, yeah, that's what he should look like, because that was my interpretation of what I thought the character should look like. And it goes beyond looks, though. The character customization throughout the game, you can develop your personality in the conversations, the dialogue. You can, as your interaction with the computer characters, you can just, like, you can be really nice to them. You can be evil, just push everyone out of your way. It's like, I don't care about you. Just tell me what I need to know, and be done with it. Or you can be nice and, go along that path. And these things can influence your personality meter, which are Paragon, which is good, and Renegade, which is, well, not evil, but more forceful. Like, do whatever you need to get to your point. And that unlocks how characters, that'll change how characters react to you, what certain types of dialogue trees you can go into. And it's. You can just, as you're going through the game, like I said, it's just this customization is great. And the skill levels, you can choose, you'll have a range of skills, but you can choose which ones you really want to focus on. So you could have access to all weapons, but if you really just want to be a sniper, you can just focus on sniping and leave those other weapons alone and kind of develop your character into more of a sniper than a soldier. Or you can go the other route and be more of a running gun guy, but you won't be very good at long range. So it, depending on your play style, you can choose your class and what you want. It's just, you can make the character as you want them, whatever suits your style, and that's just great for the gameplay in my opinion. The story is also, it's a brand new universe, and I for one am a huge science fiction nerd, so when it comes to like good stories and a good science fiction universe, I'm all over it. And this game, oh, they just went like from the roots, just went up. They have all these like journal entries and history you could find on your missions, and you can sit there. They even have a narrator who does the journal entries, so you can just sit there and listen to the guy talk about it instead of having to read it. So it's kind of like a history lesson, if you will. But I don't know. For some people, won't even explore that, but for me, it was awesome because I love backstory. Like, if there's books or movies or anything about a game, I am like on it. So back in the story, you can do your story is basically you have a few missions that you do for the council to find out information about this guy named Saren, who you learn is he's a rogue Spectre. So he's kind of he was one of the Spectres, but he's kind of doing his own thing now, and it's bad for the galaxy, and you need to eliminate him. But he's really good at hiding, so you have to go to these certain planets and find information about him, what his plans are, and that. And if you do that, the game, I would say, is like 8 to 10 hours long. But then there are side quests. This game is just loaded with side quests, okay? From anything from running errands for a person to spying on somebody, or there are even some where you have to go to other planets and find somebody's like lost relative, or there was a platoon that went out of contact, and you go there and find out that they're under attack, and you have to save them. Or you can just find out they're under attack and leave them, which is another example of the choice. These side quests, there's more than one way to finish them. You can, like, there's, I'm trying to remember one. You were given a device to hack a lottery machine, and he said he'd pay you if you could get the information. But you can also choose to go turn in the guy to the authorities or to the casino head. And while one, and there's different outcomes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's just kind of a risk and reward thing. Because when you go to the, if you choose to hack it, there's a chance you can get like kicked out and like criminal punishment. But if you turn it in, you really don't get anything, but you don't risk it. Yeah, the graphics are pretty good. I wouldn't say they're on par with next gen, but they're really not anything really special except for the characters. The levels are kind of generic. Well, not generic, but they're you've seen it before, like Gears of War and Halo. It's not really on that level, but it's close. But the side quest planets, they're kind of barren, and the driving sequences are just abhorringly bad. Like, well, not the sequence themselves, but the levels are just like zigzagging through canyons. There's barely any room to move. And the gameplay of that really revolves around just kind of stand still and gunning everybody down before they see you. So in that aspect, the environments aren't really that great, but the on-foot environments are pretty impressive. The character models, though, are great. Like the lip syncing, you will not see better facial character models in any game at all. Okay, the lip syncing in this game is perfect. Everything looks natural. Even the aliens look like they're speaking correctly, lip sync wise. It's just I loved watching. The dialogue is just so great. You can just sit there and just look at this, like, how on earth did they get this to work so well? I mean, you can look at games like Halo, Gears of War and stuff, and there's obvious like mess ups in the facial expressions, but in this game it just hits it perfect. I don't know how they did it, but it's great. It has an awesome musical score. I would put it up there with Marty O'Donnell's work. It's just like the cutscenes, it and the music and everything. This is a great cinematic experience. Like the cutscenes, especially the last couple cutscenes, are just some of the greatest video game cutscenes I have ever seen. Okay, like it just captures everything perfectly. I could watch. It looks like I'm wa It feels like I'm watching a movie, honestly. It's that good. I would recommend it to anyone who's interested in sci-fi and who loves deep games and deep story. A lot of if you just like running gun games, this might not be a good game for you because it's very much slow paced, building your character up slowly. You know, you're constantly going back to the option screen to outfit different weapons that you get, different armor, add your skills. And especially in battle when you're like switching your ammo types, it kind of gets tedious. But if you enjoy deep games like that, if you like RPGs, and if you have some patience, and if you like story, this is the game for you. I mean, for me, this is my game of the year personally. But it hits all those points for me. I just love this type of game. I love the size of it, the scale, the story, the music, the cinematics, the customization, everything. I would give it a 9. So yeah, if you like this kind of stuff, go pick it up right now. Just do it. All right, back to
Well, that brings us pretty much to the end of our show this week. Send your comments, etc., to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. And keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show. We usually have that up on Tuesdays, sometimes late Monday. So keep an eye out about that time, and you guys can send in something for the show and help out the Halo Nation.
Absolutely. You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. Anyway. 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the call-ins and Tales from the Foxhole show, which is hosted by Captain Krunk.
Yeah.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of events, projects, and ways for you to make friends and play Halo with cool people.
Yeah, and thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out the hosting bill, digging the podcast at dig.com, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us on iTunes. We couldn't do it without you.
And we definitely need some contributions because Mr.
Yes.
Fumo Jive
Yes.
needs to get the maps.
That's right.
$10.
$10.
Well, let's see. Check out the other shows in the Gamercast Network. We got Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, Achievement Junkie, and GCN's own Video Game Show.
Yes.
All good shows.
Some awesome shows.
Uncle Gamer, Gamertag Radio, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
For the Achievement Junkie.
GCN, woo!
Sarcastic Gamer, yep!
Well, until next time, I'm Fumo Jive, guys.
I'm JVB.
And I'm Laird.
I'm Roll 3.
Keep on bringing Vaseline to the catfight.
I'm coming for you, shotgun.
Ah. Nene's dead meat.
We're going for you, you spinny shotgun.
Worthless minions shotgun. Indeed, shotgun. Worthless minions indeed.
You watching?
I'll show you who the worthless minion.
Nene, tell him who the worthless minion is.
You are, yeah.
That could be like a.
We should have shirts made that say "Worthless Minion." Now, send them all over to the Podtacular community.
Who's your minion now?
That'd be awesome. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Or like, I'm friends with Nene.
Oh my gosh.
I heart Nene.
I'm friends with Nene, and it says I got banned on insert date here.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Oh my gosh.
Instead of shotgun friendly, you should name it not so friendly.
That could work. Yeah, shotgun. Oh, could you go in there and like change his user profile to say that temporarily?
There's only one thing left to say. Gamer Cast Nerd Week.